9, 639 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have Wes Moreno. He is the Escambia County Administrator. We have an unusual meeting today. It's not a morning meeting. It's not a night meeting. It's an after-lunch meeting. It's a 1:30, if I'm not mistaken. Wes, is that correct? 1:30 today?
Yeah, I think the strategy is to go get a big lunch and everybody kind of get docile and sleepy, and we don't have too much excitement.
Everybody's going to come back. You know, they've had their burger, maybe they've had a beer, and everybody's going to get along better, and hopefully not everybody falls asleep. But, you know, we'll see. It's an interesting try. Something that we didn't talk about the last time, but I want to make sure that we cover, because even though it's not in today's meeting, I think it's really interesting. The proposal or the decision to relocate the ECAT central offices to north on Pace. There's like this right across from the radio station. There is a field, undeveloped area, which I guess is where it's going to go. Is that the idea?
That is the idea. We got a $30 million grant from HUD to do that relocation. So we are starting our due diligence there. Our environmental, got to go through all the steps. HUD will have to review our environmental, review our plans every step of the way, but we have started that process and looking forward to that. I think the new ECAT station will certainly match the new Flex Transit initiative that we have going on. And so hopefully you'll see a more modern station and less big buses and just a more efficient initiative there. And I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, man, that is music to my ears. You know, you and I have talked over the years many times about ECAT and, you know, are these particular large buses serving the needs of the community properly and, you know, minimizing cost? Obviously, having, you know, semi or mostly empty buses driving around doesn't help anybody. But you guys are kind of moving into the more adaptive transit with some of the, you know, micro transit, basically using vans to get people around. I think, if I'm not mistaken, for now, it's only in the paratransit. But I think the goal is to move to where you're using a combination of big buses and vans, depending on the needs of the route. Is that right?
That is correct. We have some more vehicles on order coming in and to expand that service. And, you know, the cool thing about that service is you have an app on your phone, or you can call and schedule your trip, or you can do it online. And you follow the little dot when they come and pick you up. And they pick you up, they take you right, you know, right where you're going. It's door-to-door. They don't take you to the hub. It's door-to-door. And so that's a huge change for our business model and what we've been doing in the past. So it seems to be working out well, and we'll get people signed up for it, and then we'll keep moving in that direction.
It's Escambia Uber or something like that. But, I think it makes sense. It's always born out of the interest of serving the customer better and also reducing costs. And, you know, who can argue with either of those things? You have, I think, maybe not the biggest thing, but it's definitely one of the big things on the agenda today is ratification of the fire union contract, finally. Is that right?
It is, yeah. It's on the agenda today, and that is a big thing. We've been working hard at this. You know, when I stepped into this role 4 years ago, we didn't have a single union contract buttoned up, and so we just started going to work. So this is round two, and so all of our union contracts will again be buttoned up after the ratification of fire today. A lot of hard work by the guys at the fire union and the membership, and a lot of hard work by staff. It's not easy. Union negotiations are not easy. It's probably one of my least favorite things to do, but it is a necessary thing. It has to be done. So I am proud to be able to say that we're buttoning that up. It's good for the firefighters, and it'll take our incoming firefighters from about right now annual compensation, 42 and some change, about 52 and some change. And so then it'll go up the scale from there for your more senior level firefighters.
So for the introductory level, it's an almost 25% pay increase, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, that's fantastic. I know people kind of fixate on the per hour, but firefighters get paid a little bit different way. So it is more useful, I think, to think about that as the annual wage. Congratulations. You know, that's good. And you said there's also some pay bump in there for the like lieutenants and for the mid-levels. Is that right?
Absolutely. They have a new scale. They presented a scale. We came back with a scale. We came to agreement on it. So they have a scale now that they'll push to. Some of it has time in service or time in position as to where they push up to on the scale. And then they will also get anything that the rest of the county gets. You know, we get a 3% or 4% or 2%, you know, they'll get that as well.
So okay.
It's a good deal for them. 4 years ago, it was 32 to come in the door. So we've made a lot of progress in a short amount of time.
Yeah, I wish we didn't have to pay so much, but you do have to pay so much in order to keep competitive with other counties and other areas where they would certainly, you know, and have been many times snagging our firefighters because, you know, we produce great firefighters with excellent experience because we run a lot of calls. And, you know, other places Absolutely. Would gladly get our experienced people after a couple of years. The headline item on the, and I think that is a big deal. The other headline item on the agenda, PNJ had a good article about this, but the Advanced Traffic Management System or the regional ATMS, I've been calling it the ATMS for years. You and I have talked about this so many times. This is sort of finally at the starting gate. Is that right?
That is right. So the last few steps for us to start construction and or start the procurement process for construction. And, you know, if you remember, the county donated the property to the CPO, the FDOT, and we're in charge of managing the construction of the building. But once it's built, it'll be owned by FDOT and CPO, and it will also house the regional planning council there in that building. And we won't, you know, we'll be out of it after that. So we're going to fulfill our role and get it built. We've been doing a lot of plan review to make sure that we think we can bring it in on budget and on time for sure. And so that's on the agenda today to get that kicked off.
On the Advanced Traffic Center, the Regional Advanced Traffic Management Center that you and I have been, again, talking about for years and years, this is a building. It's going to be at W Street, right, by the Emergency Operations Center. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And for people who don't know, this is the place out of which you will, well, FDOT, will operate, oversee, and improve the management of the almost 400 traffic lights in our region. Everything from the Pensacola Beach Light to things on Brent and Davis to things in Santa Rosa County on Highway 98 and Highway 90 in an effort to, in real time, instead of having a traffic cop sit there and make it work better, in real time, remote activate it in order to flush traffic, alleviate traffic, Perdido Key, like every part of the two-county area is designed to benefit from this, right?
That is correct. And there's some collateral projects going on to run the fiber to support it. So there's some things going on collaterally, concurrently rather. And so it'll all come together. It's going to be a state-of-the-art facility, and it'll greatly improve our traffic management throughout the area.
What is the – see, because I know we're doing a lot of this work now. I mean, we are doing remote operation of a lot of these traffic lights now, and I know we're in the process of upgrading some of the different signals to have the interoperability so that we can control them remotely, have the cameras, all of that stuff. What will be the big functional difference between where we're at now and when this center actually gets built and is running?
Well, I think you said a minute ago that it's a two-county area thing. A lot of – fiber being run. We're running fiber down 29 right now. We're running fiber, going to be running fiber down W Street toward Navy Boulevard, and that will just expand out. I think it gives us more ability to see what's going on in all the different intersections in the areas of the county. I think it's going to allow us to analyze different intersections for crashes and such, and things that will just give us more tools in the toolbox to be able to better manage our traffic.
When somebody is in traffic somewhere, the idea here, as I understand it, and it's already true in a lot of places, is when you're frustrated because it's a red zone on the map, you guys already know that, right? And you're already trying to work on alleviating that, at least generally speaking. And certainly that's the goal, right?
We do have the ability to look at different areas. I think, you know, now we kind of rely on eyes and ears. I know, like, for you instance, we'll send a text message, hey, this light's out or on flash mode or something's going on with it, maybe I'll need to look at it. And I think this would be a little more automated for us, and maybe not always, we'll always still rely on the eyes and ears of our citizens. I think this will give us the ability to be a little more proactive in the management of our traffic.
It's great. I've been excited about this for years. So this is, I can't believe we're finally kind of getting there. I did want to ask about the Bay Center Committee. This is a, what is it, 11 people that are going to be on this committee, and it's really designed to make decisions, and then these same people are going to stick with it all the way through implementation, right? And it's everybody from, you know, city council, mayor's office, Escambia Commission, I forget all the people that are on the committee, but it's a big committee that's designed to encompass everybody's interests and then hopefully ultimately get to where we have a better Bay Center and serves everybody, right?
Yeah, so this it's a discussion item today, and you know, that's a proposed makeup of a committee from the county's perspective. You know, the board will have some discussion. Maybe they make some revisions or some changes. We've had, as you can imagine, certain other folks throughout the community. Hey, I want to be on that committee, and it's folks that have legitimate interest in what happens at the base center. I think the goal of that committee is going to be to manage or at least have input into a master plan around that area that I think the mayor is wanting to do. You know, we're studying the base center itself. I think the mayor has a vision to master plan the area around the base center. And I think that's what this committee is going to concentrate on.
Okay. Yeah. Which makes perfect sense to me. I think the right approach to figuring out, you know, what do we have? What do we need? What do we want? What can we afford? You know, and then let's figure out the best way forward. There's a ongoing conversation at the state level. The governor wants to eliminate property taxes for homestead properties. The House ostensibly wants to do something as well. The problem is very complicated. It's a lot more complicated than people realize. I was just listening to one of the House hearings on this yesterday. There's a lot of complication here. First of all, property tax is a massive slice of your budget. I'm guessing it's probably in the like 30% range, something like that. You tell me if I'm wrong. But that's a huge slice of your budget. And B, not knowing yet what they're going to do, are you doing anything yet to really plan for this? Because it's hard to plan for, but I'm just wondering, is the county looking at this yet, and what would we do if?
We are listening right now. You know, we have our state lobbyist that's keeping us informed of things, and we're asking some questions. We're keeping an ear to the ground. That's what we're doing right now. You know, we have a lot of fee officers, fee users. And, you know, this year our budget was about, the year we're in right now, is about $800 million. We only control about a third of that budget, you know, because that budget controls the clerk's office, the tax collector's office, property appraiser's office, state mandates that come down and come through that we're required to pay for. There's a portion of it goes to the sheriff's department. So there's a lot of things involved when you start talking about property taxes and doing away with them or coming up with a new methodology to fund county operations. Because it's more than just the Board of County Commissioners' county budget. It affects all of your constitutional offices, really. And so it's a big thing. So we're listening, and we're just trying to stay apprised of where the discussion seems to be going.
I remember there was an item maybe a month or two ago, but I'm not quite sure what became of it. Out in front of the jail, there is that big empty property, which is an eyesore ever since the mall there and the Homestead Kitchen all got torn down years ago. And the goal originally was to have a kind of a revitalization effort in that part of town, which can certainly use it. Last I heard, I thought we were doing some kind of a community center / employment facilitation office or something like that. Where is that process at? And am I right in thinking that's what kind of the goal is right now?
Yeah, there was a concept to do like a business incubator / community center, Boys and Girls Club or something. I would say that idea was more of a concept. We did do a procurement for a study, if you will, but we really not pushed it out. If you recall, right after that, it's about the same time that the folks in the Englewood community became a little upset with the McMillan School for, you know, affordable housing, transitional housing, low barrier shelter, whatever their plans are for that. And so they were a little upset. They were actually more upset about that than they were about Pace and Fairfield. But, you know, Commissioner May went over there and did a town hall, and he took some input, and we'll continue to take some input over there. But we don't have any immediate plans to bust off on anything right there at that intersection just yet.
Okay, because I drive past there a lot, so I think about it a lot, and, you know, kind of the what was the goal and what's there now, and, you know, it's disappointing we don't have something because, looking at a jail is one thing, but looking at a bunch of businesses or anything, you know what I mean? Like if we could have anything there, that seems like it'd be, you know, a benefit for the community. Last thing for today, Wes, is we have a resurfacing is on the agenda for today. Roads, Inc. is going to get about $4.3 million contract for resurfacing for the community spread across all the districts. This is perennially kind of a question, and I, you know, in the past, I know former commissioners, particularly Doug Underhill, had always said, we just aren't spending enough on resurfacing. We need to spend more if we have this many roads and it costs this much and we have to redo them every 20 years. $4 million sounds like a lot. It's not, given the size of our county. Is that enough money on an annual basis to really properly maintain our roads, in your opinion?
Well, from a resurfacing standpoint, I think, you know, the thing was I used to be said, we need to resurface every single road in the county, and that's just not true.
Mm-hmm.
Every road in the county does not need to be resurfaced all the time. But yeah, we can always use more resurfacing money. You have roads like W Street that runs from, you know, 29 all the way down to Navy Boulevard that we're responsible for, and there's areas there that definitely need attention, and so that's a big project. And then we have large roadways, shared roadways, if you will, that need attention. So there's hardly ever what I would call enough money for resurfacing. We can, the one thing I love about resurfacing, you can impact an area very quickly and really make a huge improvement there in certain areas of the county. But, you know, we try to do worse first. We do have a road analyzation contract that we just put into place where they're going to come in with a specialized vehicle with lasers and rut bars and video cameras and all these things to do our road analyzation that will tie into our pavement management system, and which will help us better prioritize which roads come up on top of the list.
And I know a lot of the funding, at least, is supposed to come from, like, local option gas tax, you know, but that doesn't even come close to paying the bill, right?
No. I mean, we will always have a heavy lift in resurfacing. It just is what it is.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's where we're at.
I mean, I know it's a kind of a – it's a pro forma matter on the agenda, but it's like – the things that people really think the county should be doing or could be doing or ought to be doing better. And, you know, that's one of those, like, you know, roads and keep and maintaining them. It's a big job and it's very expensive. And if you want it done better, it's going to cost more to do it. Wes Marenner, he is the Escambia County Administrator. Again, the meeting today is at 1:30, so it's an odd time. Everybody can be, you know, relaxed and happy after their meal. Wes, thanks for the time. As always, I appreciate you giving us a bunch of information before the meetings when they happen. And we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
All right, man. We'll see you now.